Xavi. He's done it. Four. Balotelli. Aguero. Cahill. Cahill. Tim Cahill has done it again. What a goal by Tim Cahill.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Premier League Nightclub podcast. My name is Damon, and with me, of course, for the first episode of Season 2, the Woodrow Woody. How have you been, mate?
We're back, and I'm so excited, Damo. And if anyone that was lucky enough to have a listen to our Season 2 preview, you'll know that Season 2 is going to be well and truly bigger and better than Season 1, Damo. We've got some massive thing in the works. And yes, I am good. I am very good to answer your question. I'm very excited to crack on to Season 2. It's been a big off-season, a much-needed off-season, but I am so excited, Damo.
Mate, the thing is, like, we've got a year under our belt now. We're experienced. We know what comes. Everything is taking less time than it was, say, 6 months to a year ago. Does that sort of make sense? We're on top of it. We really are. And I feel like it's given us the confidence to take this next step into Season 2, where, of course, we will be bringing some sort of video to the table over the next few episodes. As we said in the preview, it's not exactly, you know, set in stone how we're going to do it because of the restrictions, and we spoke about that in reasonable detail in the season preview. So if you haven't listened to that, go have a listen, because it sort of summarizes what we're going to be about here at the Nightclub during Season 2. But yeah, Woodrow, as you said, much needed break. It's a short one, but a lot has happened. Few players gone to jail, few blokes had a bit of fun with some females. Yeah, it's had it all, but of course there have been transfers as well, which we'll get into.
You're right, it's been a pretty saucy off season. I think the latest one was Phil Foden and Mason Greenwood getting some Were they Croatian?
Look, I was gonna say like Icelandic, but I might be completely wrong there. I have no idea.
I know they weren't in Croatia, but I can't remember the nationality of young females that they had over. Questionable scenes from the young players.
I'm gonna Google it. I'm gonna Google it right now. It's questionable. I'm gonna Google it right now. What should I Google it? Mason Greenwood girl. That's gonna be interesting.
Maybe Phil Foden cheats. I don't know.
Yeah, no, Icelandic. They were Icelandic.
There you go.
I was right. They're Icelandic. Yeah.
Fine produce over there, no doubt. The young players, I think Mason Greenwood maybe a little bit. Yeah, look, I think Phil Foden's more at fault. I'd say Greenwood's maybe just tagged along for the ride.
Really? I mean,
yeah, Phil Foden's been in the international camp before, 100%. And he's married and he's got a kid. He can't. That's inexcusable.
Legally, both should know better, though. I mean, what did they think was going to happen? Absolute basket case of a situation, especially. It was all over social media, the girls' ones at least. So, I mean, you know, just immaturity. And they've been absolutely slammed by Southgate and Harry Kane and stuff. Those leaders in the England camp have not gone easy on them, as they should. But yeah, a few other things. Harry Maguire, he's probably been the story of the offseason. Yeah. With his antics in Greece, and Woody, obviously you and I, a bit of a Greek background,
We've both been to Mykonos as well, so...
Yes, we have, and we can understand that sometimes it can sort of swallow you and spit you out the other end, and it's real nasty if it gets a hold of you, and it seems like that happened to old mate.
Yeah, I think he got caught at the old Cavo Paradiso, or somewhere around there, I don't know, somewhere on the cliffs of Mykonos, but... Yeah, Mykonos has well and truly gobbled him up and spat him out. Some of the charges that he got faced with, shit, you would not want to hear that from
Some of the stuff I was reading, it's just, like, you don't know what to believe. And I think, yeah, obviously he got found guilty, but there's been, like, an appeal, and now he's back innocent until proven guilty, and that's going to happen over the next few months. Oh, it's just absolute nightmare situation, though, for Man United and Harry Maguire specifically, but... Goodness me, one of the more bizarre things I think anyone expected to or didn't expect to happen. I just can't get over how something like this can happen to a Manchester United captain, as you said, Woodrow.
I'll tell you what, it applies to the young players, but also applies to the old players as well. They're not going to be the first people to get into these sort of things in the off-season, and they're definitely not going to be the last. Mm. So what I have to say is that is a nightclub message to all those young footballers, and we've had plenty of them on the show, that are maybe looking for a night out. Mate, do what you want. but just don't get caught. Don't get caught. And something that, something that the Australian system is very good at is plenty of this stuff happening under the radar and not getting caught. But when it does, they become the scapegoat and the example for every other player. Mate, do what you want. Just don't get caught. Seriously.
Goodness me. All right, Woodrow, other than the antics that some of the top elite athletes have been up to, what are the other top athletes been up to, such as yourself, over the last few weeks? We haven't really spoken much directly about what we've been doing personally.
Mate, honestly, I've been honing my skills for the nightclub. I've been practicing my audio, practicing my segment setting, been practicing my editing skills for the Insta. But, you know, lockdown's pretty hard because I think for us in Melbourne, a lot of people that are listening around the world won't actually know Australia, and more specifically Melbourne, Victoria, have the harshest lockdown in the world, considering that I think we're 90th in the world for deaths per capita. So it's considerably low considering where the rest of the world is at. And for us, Damo, I think it's really hard because this is the third bout of lockdown that we've actually had on our cards. And it feels as if the motivation you get from the first bout has completely lost by the time we get to the third one. And now it's just so much harder to get motivated day to day considering that we're just in this forced lockdown.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the sort of harshness of the lockdowns and how hard it is mentally, because it is, I'm pretty sure, Are You Okay Day. Mm. So for those out there, if you're struggling in Melbourne or our Melbourne listeners, make sure you speak to someone. We're lucky enough that this is, in a way, happening in 2020 where we can talk online and that sort of stuff. So just remember, you know, there are things out there that can help. So if you're struggling, make sure you do what you can to stay happy or at least stay sane. Like I'm sure many people are struggling.
What about yourself, Damo? What about yourself? Before you head on, what have you been up to, more importantly?
To be honest, Woody, I was about to just go into what I was doing because you didn't ask. So thank you for that nice little segue. to be honest with you, Woodrow, I feel like I'm going to be brutally honest. I put the podcast out of my mind for 2 to 3 weeks. I just needed to do it. I completely took it out of my mind. I didn't update anything on Twitter. So those avid Twitter followers, I do apologize for being invisible for 3 weeks. But yeah, no, Woody, just played a lot of video games, as you know. You know, spent a little bit of time with the girlfriend, that sort of stuff. You know, like, not much else I can really do. I'm a big AFL fan as well. And, you know, we've been watching some NBA. We've been, of course, the US Open. So there hasn't been a lack of sport either, to be honest. So I sort of feel like my sports needs have been met still over this last month and a half whilst the Premier League's been off. But there is something about the Premier League that just offers a little bit different that I've been craving for the last few weeks. And I'm very excited for the season to start this weekend. But Woody, I do have one quick thing to go, sort of a good segue. It is a good segue. And it's the transfer sort of saga around a few players. And I wanted to bring up something because I feel like we needed to make this podcast a little bit more positive. We've been hounding in on the players doing the wrong thing. But how about this from Newcastle, yeah? So, a lot of talk about Ryan Fraser. From Bournemouth to Newcastle. Great signing for them. But it was one of the most unique transfer announcements I've seen. And it wasn't expensive. It was no pianos involved. It was unique and I loved it. Okay?
Yep.
I don't know if you caught this, Woody, but basically, Newcastle sent out a bunch of tweets. Like, you know, just normal tweets as you do. Like, just a picture of training or whatever it is. And then after a few, and this was over about a 24 to 30 hour period, after a few, the tweet was literally like, including this tweet, take the first letter of each of our last, like, certain amount of tweets, and it spelt Ryan Fraser. Oof. And that was their way of announcing it. And I loved it, but I mean, contrary to that, you just know every single tweet is going to be analysed by every single club fan now. I mean, I've already seen a Man United news. I shit you not. Man United news. The last three tweets the other day were about Cantona, Beckham, and Ronaldo. All three of them wore number 7. And I saw someone genuinely say, that's Sancho confirmed, that Man United have tweeted about their former number 7 3 times in a row.
I'm pretty sure it's just because of the third kit that came out. And David Beckham was the first one that released it. The zebra looking piece of crap. Mate, what is that? I don't understand. But I'll tell you what, back to Bournemouth to Newcastle transfers. Our mate Callum Wilson has headed off to Newcastle as well, and I think that's a massive signing for the Maggies in their hope to hopefully do a bit better than they did last season.
Yeah, obviously a huge amount of talk about their potential takeover, which sort of didn't eventuate, and given the current circumstances of the pandemic, it'd be a big call for someone to invest highly in, you know, in football right now. But Woody, I think it's a great segue to talk about whether transfers are good or not, because we had a hugely good reception when we did this last time around come the end of the January transfer window. And it's a segment we haven't had in ages, to be honest, but I'm happy to bring it back in a special transfer edition, and that is On or Offside. All right, Woodrow, we've got a heap of transfers. I've got about 20 here for you. And I'm going to hit you with one, and then you just tell me if it's on or offside, and you do the same to me. It's pretty basic stuff, and people listening probably just like, yeah, shut up, Dame. We get the point. We know exactly what's going to happen here. So, Woodrow, I'll hit you up first with Willian, Chelsea to Arsenal on a free.
Love it.
On or offside?
Love it. Onside. Onside. Couldn't agree more. I think Willian, probably edged out considering how many people Chelsea have brought in. Heading to Arsenal, no doubt he's going to get more opportunity. Experienced head, very underrated. I think great understudy and potential role model for Pepe leading forward. So, Damo, I'll hit you straight back. James Rodriguez, Real Madrid to Everton. Fee, only 20 mil. On or offside?
This is an absolute steal. I mean, you can't say not onside here, because you look at the numbers James Rodriguez pumped out under Ancelotti when he was at Real Madrid. And, you know, like, there's been a lot of talk whether that 2014 World Cup was as good as it got from James. But, I mean, if you look at the numbers when he played for Ancelotti, it was clearly his best at a club level in his career. So it's, if you're an Everton fan, you're over the moon, a 20 million fee. So what, James Rodriguez getting on in age a little bit now. You probably have him for a good couple of years, though. And under Ancelotti, geez, you'd expect a real strong output. Obviously, not proven in the Premier League, but either way, 20 million, can't go wrong. Woodrow, one back at you. Aaron Ramsdale, used to be a Sheffield United player, went to Bournemouth, and now he's back at Sheffield United for 18.5 million. Worth noting, though, it was Bournemouth wanted 25 million, but because of the sell-on fee that Sheffield United were going to get, they sort of gave Sheffield a discount anyway, because they would have got the money anyway, so it didn't really make a difference.
I love it. I think massive onside. It seems as if when you go to Sheffield United or you start there in your career, it just seems to want to bring you back. We look at the likes of Billy Sharp, left, came back multiple times. Phil Jagielka, left, massive stint at Everton, came back. And it seems Aaron Ramsdale the same. When people are at the Blades, the culture is clearly next to none. So him wanting to come back, and he's obviously Premier League proven, but to want to come back to the Blades, I think says something about the Blades and the culture they're building in that club as well. As a Premier League staple team, hopefully in the future, massive onside. Could not agree with it more. Damo, there's a few split heads about this one, and I'm going to hit you. On or offside, Ben Chilwell, Leicester to Chelsea, 50 mil pounds.
I think this one, I have to give it an onside. I know we're probably just going to say onside to all of these, because on paper, clubs don't make bad signings all too often, on paper at least. But I'm going to say onside, but it's a 75% onside, only because I think Ben Chilwell's form was actually, ironically, really good until he started getting linked with Chelsea. And Chelsea still went through with the transfer for 50 million. Is 50 million too much? Maybe. Especially, but I think given Chelsea's defensive record, and also I know we're going to mention Thiago Silva a little bit later on, essentially for nothing, I think that sort of evens it out, and that's what makes me say onside. But I'm still skeptical over Ben Chilwell's mindset, given how he performed once he was linked to Chelsea. How is he going to go actually playing for them? But of course, Chelsea fans would be over the moon with it. Woodrow, we just spoke about it before. Ryan Fraser, Bournemouth to Newcastle.
Look, I think there are potentially better people on the market, considering they've got a bit of money behind them. So I think bringing in Wilson, good. Obviously, it was an onside when it comes up. But I think bringing in Ryan Fraser, I think more than building for the future for Newcastle, they might have to build for now, because their danger is now, rather than they're not established and they look extremely weak. Obviously, you know, a lot of issues going on with the ownership of Newcastle. Bleeds down to the players as well, and it showed the first half of last season. They really felt the effects on the pitch. So for me, I think you can go for better options than Ryan Fraser, considering the fee they paid for him, which I think was about £26.5 million. So for me, I'm actually going to go offside for that one, Damo, which is probably against popular opinion, actually.
I somewhat agree on, not so, you said it from a team perspective, which from the most part agree with, but I think, look at Ryan Fraser, 12 months ago he was linked with Arsenal, and no disrespect to Newcastle, but they're not Arsenal, know what I mean? And I think that's a fair representation of where he's gone at in the last 12 months, and he even spoke about it. I remember talking about it on a pod a couple of months ago, how Fraser admitted his mind was off, but he's back on track. But even after he said that, he was still crap.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's a bit of a offside for his career, only because it's just a bit of a representation of where he's been at. And now, I'm actually looking forward to this one, Woodrow, because there is absolutely no reason to give this an on or offside. I just put it in because of his, at the risk of sounding like Sam, his FIFA scream card in like FIFA 19 or something.
Well, then I'll ask you, Damo, on or offside, Ethan Empadu, Chelsea to Sheffield United loan.
Mate, if it means him getting game time, I'm all for it. I'm pretty sure he's cut his hair, which I'm pretty flat about. But what is it with these absolute weapons with the weapon-like hair cutting them? You know, Fellaini now in party. But anyway, I like it. I'm not going to say I love it, because there must be a, given Chelsea how bad they were defensively to not play him that much. I think you sort of have to be skeptical on whether he has the ability to play at top level Premier League. But I think given the fact that it means he's going to get some goes at Sheffield United, yeah, 100%, I like it. I like it a lot. Woodrow, Van de Beek to Man United from Ajax. This one sort of came out of nowhere. For Man United standards, it happened reasonably quickly.
Yeah, definitely. I think every transfer saga you see going through United's doors takes 6+ months. So I think for this one to be turned around so quickly... again, I'm really sus on this one, because obviously he's a great young player, one of the best young talents in Europe. Linked with Real Madrid, linked with Bayern, linked with Barca as well. But obviously that broke down a little bit after January, I think, once the coronavirus hit. So for me, Damon, I don't want to say offside. I don't want to say offside, but I just can't see where he's going to fit in. And I think... if the way United are playing, they've got a two-man pivot with Pogba and Matic at the moment, and with Fernandes a little bit ahead. If you fit Van de Beek in for Matic or a McTominay, who is guarding the back four? And for me, tactically, offside, stature-wise, onside. And I don't know if you'd agree with me on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel like we could have a pretty strong debate about this, and I think it's more of a need for... I mean, essentially, those games where Fernandes gets rested, Van de Beek plays instead of Pereira. Does that sort of make sense? Like, it gives you that option as well, which I think is, you know, if you're a Man United fan, you're taking that every single day of the week. Our next one is Timo Werner, but Woody, I'm going to hit you up with sort of all the rest of the Chelsea big name signings, because I think that's the best way to go about it. So I'm going to go Timo Werner, Kai Havertz, and Thiago Silva. Those are the three. We've already spoken about Chilwell, but give me those three. Quickly, go.
Mate, I'm going to give you onside, on the fence. And the reason why, because I look at Timo Werner, had 34 goals, 13 assists last season. And I look at Kai Havertz, 34 goals, 13 assists last season. Obviously, a bit of a difference in feet. Havertz, however, I look at him and people say, why would you go for Havertz when you've got Mason Mount developing? And my answer to that is, you look at Kai Havertz, he's already got 150 appearances in the Bundesliga already for a top side in Leverkusen, who have invested the time to develop in. Mount doesn't have that. Mount does not have that at all, and he hasn't even scored 34 goals in a career, let alone in one season. So for me, Havertz is a clear upgrade, ready, proven player in Europe and the Bundesliga alone. Extremely successful, and I think for me, he's a massive offside. However, Thiago Silva, I'm going to go offside because the guy is 35. I understand he was the best in the game, but he's 35. And they've got plenty of players who are 15 years younger than him ready to take his spot. So, I don't know.
I feel like it's definitely one of those ones where he sort of has to set the world alight and be unbelievable to justify the selection. I understand they got him for free, but if he plays 2 years of decent football, he's just taking 2 years off a younger guy. And look, we don't know what he's going to do behind the scenes from a teaching perspective, but I do understand what you're saying, Woody. 35 years of age, especially recently, you look at teams like Tottenham, Man United, when they've tried to bring in older players, it just hasn't worked at all. I think of like a Bastian Schweinsteiger sort of thing. It just hasn't worked when an older player comes into these sides that are trying to take the next step. So it'll be interesting to see if Thiago Silva can break the trend.
Yep, Damon, I'm going to come straight back here. I'm going to come with the team one. I'm going to go Everton. So I'm going to look at Allen, Napoli to Everton, and then also Doucouré, Watford to Everton, on or offside.
Yeah, we touched on Rodriguez earlier, and I said it was a big onside. I feel Allen comes into the same boat. Played under Ancelotti, was an absolute beast when Ancelotti was at Napoli. And clearly there is a connection there in terms of, you know, whether behind the scenes it was sort of a phone call to Allen, like, hey, let's get the band back together sort of thing. But, you know, Everton fans, when they got Ancelotti, I don't know if they were expecting the players to come with him. And so that's massive for them. And they're my big movers, actually. We're going to get into predictions later on, but they are my big movers. And I cannot wait for this weekend to see how they line up on the opening day. Did you see it going a particular way, Woody? Have you had a look at
this? I have had a look, and I be prepared because I'm going to put something on the Insta. But I'm not quite sure because when you look at Alan Doucouré and James Rodriguez, obviously they're all on the, I'm going to go later end of their 20s, early 30s, and they're not the youngest bunch there. And I look at the lineup that the midfielders that they have going on. They've got Davies, Young, Gbarman, and you know, Andre Gomez and Gylfi Sigurdsson as well. How the hell are they going to fit another? And you'd argue all three of those guys coming in are upgrades on all of them. So can they go with a flat 4-4-2 anymore? And how are you going to fit, you know, Richarlison and old mate in there as well? Personally, I'm not sure how they're going to fit all these midfielders in there. I don't know. Even we saw Mason Holgate come in Feb against Man United.
Yeah,
excelled.
I was about to mention that.
Yeah, excelled for a few months in that position as well. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting.
I feel like this is, regardless of whether they make teams or not, I think the biggest thing for these players is, or for Everton, is that they finally have the depth that probably been lacking for a good 6 to 8 years now. I think of those Everton team, I think the year after David Moyes left, they were flying, and they were had a bunch of players which really lifted that season, and they probably haven't been able to hit those heights since. And I'm not talking about those specific players over the last 8 years or whatever. I'm saying it's that these players that have come through haven't been able to sort of take those spots like they would have hoped. I mean, you look at guys like Holgate who have come in, Woody, that you said, yeah, sure, they've been flying, but there just hasn't been enough of it. And so for the first time, Everton are now not looking at guys such as, I'm trying to think of who they've signed over the last, like Iwobi, players who they considered to be bulking up their list, if you want to call it that. Overall, Everton are taking a little bit of a different approach in sort of the same way. And I think that's really, really interesting. And it's hugely because of Ancelotti as well, with those connections to guys like Allen and Hammers. Sorry, I've rambled on a little bit there, but I think Everton's a really, really interesting team that could be the big movers. All right, I'll hit you up with the last few, Woody. Adam Lallana for free from Liverpool to Brighton.
Love it. Think he needs more game time. You know, he has had a fantastic spell at Liverpool. Won his trophies. got his medals. I think now it's well and truly time for him to go lead a club rather than just be a bit part player in a successful club. He's had the success. Now lead a club. Lead a club. Damo, Gabriel, Lille to Arsenal. 100%.
Yeah, I like this a lot. When you've got competition to sign a player, then you know he's good. That says a lot about it. Took a little bit longer for them to get it done than they would have liked, but they still got it done reasonably early. It was a must for Arsenal. It really was. You know, if they lost Gabriel to another club in the transfer window, geez, it would have looked bleak for them. I still don't have them, you know, a top four team yet, but it just makes their list look so much better than it would be without him. So yeah, massive onside. I was,
but then I feel as if this happens every season with Arsenal because they sign one massive player and they think their season's going to turn around. Same happened with Pepe. Sure, he had his glimpses, but overall, pretty inconsistent season. And I feel as if Arsenal may need a better string of signings rather than just relying on one to come in and then putting all the expectations on that player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I do feel like, though, the fact it's a defender, they finally got a relatively big-name defender, and he's mature, which I like.
Yep, for sure. And Damon, I'll hit you with the last one as well. We'll wrap it up with this one because, mate, some big calls happening around this transfer here. Nathan Ake, Bournemouth to Man City. On or offside?
Mate, Bournemouth have been raided. They really have. And I'm actually going to say offside here, finally, to one. And the reason I'm going to say this is because Man City have had huge defensive problems. You'd say Laporte has been their only successful central defender in the last 2-3 years. And I know they've won two out of the last three league titles. But they've won it because of their ball retention style of play. And it works. They've got the guys up front that can do it for them. But every season, it's been Otamendi, it's been Stones, who have let them down in big games. I think the two seasons ago, I think Stones played started maybe seven games or something, and they were the only games Man City didn't win. I mean, these guys aren't being hidden. They were until last season, and it finally got found out when Laporte was injured because they don't have any backup. And so I'm skeptical about whether he can really fill a hole, or is he just another John Stones?
This is the thing, Damo, and a lot of people have been saying that Ake is the next Van Dijk. You watch, Ake is going to be an absolute monster at Man City. And then I look at the comparison between Van Dijk and Nathan Ake, and I think to myself, Van Dijk's 6'4". He's 6'4", probably almost 100 kilos, right? Ake is not even 6 foot. He's 5'11". He's 5'11". Now, as a centre-back, who is supposedly one of the most dominant centre-backs in the world, is what the expectations are being lumped on Ake. You can't be sub 6 foot. You can't be. Because your best strikers are going to out-jump him.
It is an issue.
And that's the thing. And I look at Ake, and I look at Tyron Mings, and I look at Ramsdale Bournemouth last season. They couldn't keep them up. Sure, Bournemouth had no midfield. But Ake and Mings together, surely there's something going on there if they can't stay up in the Premier League. And then instantly Ake is, what, a $50 million player? I don't see it. I just don't see it. And I don't see the comparison between him and a young Van Dijk when, you know, physically they don't match up in any sense. They're Dutch. That's it. That's the only comparison. Do you know what I mean? I just don't see it.
I do get it. I also feel like it's worth noting that, again, he's just another player that you can't see playing necessarily very well without Laporte. Again, it's just another centre-back they have that will rely on Laporte's help. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. And I feel like he will play a lot of minutes for Man City, though, which is probably good for him, and, you know, credit to him to get relegated and then go to one of the best teams. And be a fair shout for a lot of minutes says a lot about him already. Woody, I think this sort of is a good pathway into something we haven't done for a long time, since the first episode ever, actually. And we did okay last time when we did this last season. So we're going to give it another crack. And we also shouted out on Twitter for a few people to give their predictions. So we'll have a look at other people's predictions as well. But it's now time for to do our season predictions.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine?
Alrighty, Woody, I'm going to ask you to give me your top six because I think we've gone quite different here.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm going to go Liverpool retaining the title. And I am. I know it's the second season I've gone for a title retention, but I think that Liverpool have the squad. And you know what? I understand that I haven't nabbed Thiago yet, but if Thiago comes in for Wijnaldum, that's probably the only point. How can you upgrade a team that has pulled in 197 points or 196 points in the last two seasons? You really can't, but that is one way to do it. Upgrading Wijnaldum to a Thiago. No one else can pass it like he can in the world, and you're getting the best out of him at 29 years old. So I've gone for them winning the title. Then I've gone Chelsea purely because of the firepower they've got up front. Man City, Man United to round out the top four. I've got Everton making Europa at fifth. And I've gone for the Wolves to back up a poor second half of the season to round out sixth. I think with no Europe this season, they are really facing a good run at being better in the league. What about yourself, Damo?
Yeah, it's actually a really good point. I didn't think of the Wolves factor of the not as many games this season because you obviously saw what they were able to do for a majority of last season and still held up pretty well. So I won't do a last-minute change, but I think you got a really good point about the Wolves. My top six, though, I got Liverpool winning the league again. As you said, they're just, I feel like Man City haven't done enough in the transfer market to justify them heading over the top of Liverpool. So yeah, Liverpool to retain the title. I have City in second. I have Chelsea in third purely based on the fact that when you sign this many players, it sometimes takes 12 months to get it right. And
yep.
Lampard, as much as he's been decent since his arrival in the Premier League, he's not proven.
Mm.
So I can't justify putting Chelsea any higher than third, so I'm going to stick with them in third. Now, this is the one where I feel like you might laugh at me here, but I've gone Tottenham in fourth.
What?
And the reason I've gone Tottenham in fourth is because it is a Jose Mourinho second season in charge. And we know what happens every time Mourinho takes over. He wins titles. And the only season he hasn't done it was with Man United. And he got them second when City had that unbelievable
year. The most boring season in Premier League history.
Exactly. And I think Jose getting Tottenham to fourth is the equivalent of getting that Man United team to second and winning a title. Because the Tottenham squad is not good enough to win a league title. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like fourth is as good as it can get for Tottenham, and Jose is going to get that out of Tottenham. He always does it.
Mm.
Without fail. He will grind points. He will get a point at Anfield. He will get 1-0 wins over Man United and your Chelsea's. He'll do it. I know he will because he knows how to mastermind this sort of stuff in second season. So that's why I've gone them fourth. Man United in fifth. Obviously, all these predictions are based off the transfer window as well. So at the moment, when you've only signed one player, you can't really see them going up. If they were able to pick up a Jadon Sancho, look, maybe they'd be back in that top four for me. But right now, I can't go any higher than fifth. And in sixth, I have Everton as well. I think Ancelotti's going to work wonders with this Everton squad. The best Everton squad I've seen in a decade. And I'm really excited for what they can do. Teams like Leicester, Arsenal, Wolves, I have rounding out the top 10, but that's not relevant. Woody, who you got relegated?
Damo, I've gone for West Ham, West Brom, and Aston Villa to get relegated. And the reason why I've backed up Aston Villa is because, personally, I feel as if, can they have another season where they scrap so hard to stay in? Personally, I don't think no. I think no. I think the turmoil they received and went through at the end of last season, I think that's only going to be amplified this season with the microscope on them. And so many, if you look at the teams that have come up, they're all hungry. And I don't feel as if Aston Villa have that hunger. And nor do they have that squad depth either. So West Ham as well, I don't think they're there. And West Brom, I don't know if they have the quality coming up as well. Damon, with that being said, you know, who knows? You don't know how the season's going to pan out, what injuries pan in as well. But Damo, who have you got in your relegated three?
My relegated three, I got Villa as well. I think they haven't added to their squad. They got away with murder last year. All right, they might get Heaton back from his knee injury, and of course they've lost Pepe Reina, but I just can't see them really improving. And you know, the teams around them, for me, West Ham, I don't see them going down. I don't see them having as bad a year as they did last year. I do have Brighton going down with Villa. I feel like those two teams. The thing for Brighton for me is we praised them a lot last season, and they just got out of relegation. They had they beat Tottenham 3-0. They had a point against Chelsea. They did the double over Arsenal and still just got over the line. I don't know if they have that in them again. Of course, lost Aussie legend Aaron Moy, and that's a whole nother kettle of fish as to what the hell he's doing in China. But I feel like Brighton can't sustain the way they played and stay up. So it's either going to have to be a shift in mindset if they want to survive. And I have Fulham. I think Fulham, again, quite often we see these teams sort of get through those playoffs in the championship and they sort of get a little bit of a reality check. And I think for me, Fulham, were they their third best team in the championship last year season? Perhaps. But I think they were well off West Brom and Leeds. So I think they're by far on paper the weakest team.
With that being said, our boy Ty Francois is in the Fulham squad. Yeah. And if you didn't catch that interview, check it. It was our second Aussies Uncovered last season. He's in the Premier League, and he hasn't been loaned out. So we're banking on him getting a few Premier League minutes. Captain, obviously, of the under-21s, under-23 squad when he played a massive part in the success last season. Hopefully, we can see him get a few Premier League minutes this season, Damo. He played against the big boys in a few of the cup games last season as well. Played against the Saints. So very excited to see if he can get on the pitch.
We spoke to him as well.
We did.
Yeah, speaking of getting on stuff, he also got on the piss. Quite well after their celebration, after their promotion. So good on him, and I'm pretty keen to see how he goes, Woody. As you said, I'm pretty sure he's going to get some minutes. Woody, who's your player of the year?
My player of the year, Damo, I've gone for KDB, and it might seem like an easy choice, but if I look at the players that have won the player of the year, two times in a row, Thierry Henry, Cristiano Ronaldo. And if I'm looking at those two players, I think to myself, at what point does Kevin De Bruyne start being compared to the best of the best to ever play in the Premier League? Because the guy had 13 goals, 20 assists, is super consistent, is a leader for this Man City team, consistently drags them out of holes to win them games when they're in strife. And when they lose, he's their only performer, usually. So for me, at what point do we start considering KDB to being that godly tier? And for me, it could be this season if he backs something up with a ridiculous 20 assists. If he gets three quarters of that, for me, he's probably going to be considered again. And the only reason he might be snubbed is people start to overlook and underrate his consistency in the league. Damo, who is your player this year?
Oh, go on. I was just going to touch on Kevin De Bruyne 1 second. I just feel like, as you said, he's such a safe bet because if he will be top three. He will be in the top three players in the league this season. There's almost no doubt about it. That's how good he is. But I was going to say the exact same thing that you pointed out at the end. It's a bit of a Mo Salah effect as well. Saw what Salah was able to do two, three seasons ago, and he hasn't had a look in for player of the season. Like, imagine if KDB gets 10 goals and 15 assists next season and we say, gee, he was a bit down, wasn't he? Like, it's just outrageous to actually say that. But I wouldn't be surprised if media outlets start saying that if he doesn't match what he was able to do. But yeah, I've gone with Sadio Mane. And the reason I've gone with Sadio Mane is the guy performs similar to KDB almost every week, no matter what Liverpool rock up. How many times did he get them out of jail last season, especially early on with a few late winners? I think it's also worth noting, if Thiago goes to Anfield, can you imagine Sadio Mane getting in on some of those balls in behind? Because Salah is usually the one that takes the ball in front of the defense, and I feel like he's got the players around him that help him do that. Mane is in behind, especially given Firmino though as well. So I feel like Mane, if Thiago signs, Mane gets an extra 5 goals next year, minimum.
Yep.
This season, I should say. So that's the reason he's my player of the season. So if Thiago gets signed, I might even put a bit of money on it. That's how comfortable.
All right, Damo, so talking about the dollary do's, I think it is time to get into maybe the most anticipated segment on the Premier League nightclub season 2 return. Mate, the attention that this got last season was out of control. Something that was completely unprecedented. And we did not even see it coming, but the people loved it. And it is back to start off season 2. And what else, guys? You should be saying it when you're listening to the podcast right now. I'm going to say it for you. Damo's Dollars is back.
Show me the money.
You know, the funny thing is about this segment, Woody, you even specifically said the word preview, or the phrase previewing games will not happen in the season 2 preview. You genuinely said it, but despite that, nothing could stop Damo's Dollars from returning. The 0% success rate, the fact we don't talk about games specifically anymore, has still not stopped it. That's how you cannot stop the momentum of Damo's Dollars. And I have something very special for the people. Straight up. I spent so much time on this, it's not funny. I'm about to pump you with some numbers, Woodruff, that will leave you considering whether you put your house on this or maybe calling up, you know, your parents, your grandparents, and saying, let's all put our homes on this. Like, this is how big... It's a lock, okay? It's a standard four-leg multi, like we were doing last season, but this one is good, okay? It is good.
And I'm going to kick it off. The Damo stamp of approval.
100%, dude. Arsenal versus Fulham, yeah?
Yep.
Arsenal at $1.53. Are these guys serious? Arsenal have won the last five against Fulham. 4-1, 5-1, 2-0, 3-1, 1-0. It's going to be an absolute shit show. The last two times Fulham have opened the season, they've come up with absolutely putrid performances, losing to Crystal Palace and Barnsley. Fulham are crap on opening days, and Arsenal would love a small team beat up, especially when they're going to be striding their stuff a little bit on the opening day. $1.53, put your house on it. You're locking that into the multi. You couldn't ignore it. Next up, Wolves to beat Sheffield United on the opening day. And I feel like of all the statistical analysis, this is the least. And you know, Woody, I'd like to sort of pitch in an emotional pick each time. And ironically, that's usually the one that I get right. So I've sort of just stuck with it. And do you remember last season, Sheffield United went to the Molyneux and got... Oh, actually, no, sorry. Sheffield United hosted the Wolves, I'm pretty sure, late in the season, in the restart, and they scored a last-minute header, and it pretty much cost the Wolves European football, if we're being real. It ultimately did once we figured out the rest of the season. Because if the Wolves get an extra point, I'm pretty sure they, an extra win or point, they play in Europa this year. So, talk about revenge. This is their revenge. They would have seen this game first up and gone... Here we go, boys. Let's get this done. Let's smack the Blades. And I think the Blades had their best season ever in their history and ultimately didn't achieve anything last year. I know it's insanely harsh, but it's going to be so hard for the Blades to back up what they did again. And I feel like it's almost got... Do you remember when Leicester won the league and they lost to Hull City on the opening day the following season? It's got... This is
got
what Sheffield are going to do.
Hull
something
City
sort of similar. They're going to... Yeah, they're gonna do a sort of similar thing where Sheffield United had a bit of a hangover after finishing like 8th or 9th, whatever it was. So I feel like the Wolves are good value here for a $2.40 win. You lock that in. Next up, now this is, I'm not going to lie, like I'm not going to act like this is just some sort of casual thing that I've done on a Saturday afternoon. This is by far the most impressive thing I've come up with in my time on the pod. You ready for this? Tottenham versus Everton at $3.60 draw. Hear me out. So, to sum it up, this is what you call research. You do not get this anywhere else. Mainstream media, podcast media, you will not get this sort of analysis. You ready for this? Do you remember when Harry Kane and Son were running amok against Everton and there was like a 6-2 scoreline? Like, Everton and Tottenham have come up with some real nasty fixtures over the time. Like, Dele, there was a Son red card, I'm pretty sure.
Yes,
some real weird stuff going on. Yeah. Well, those days are done, my friend. Done. Now, hear me out. between 2017 and 2019, these two teams met six times. They averaged 4.3 goals per game. And as I said, there were some 6-2 scorelines. I think they drew once in a 2-2 draw. There was a 4-2 game. Just plenty of goals between those years. But it's over. Because Jose Mourinho has arrived. And that doesn't happen under his watch. They played in July. And it was a 1-0 win to Tottenham. And it took a Michael Keane own goal to separate the two teams. A draw. I'm borderline. I mean, if you're really feeling it, I'd put money on a 0-0 draw, but I'm not going to do that because the multi is too precious to you know, manipulate like that. So I'm just going to draw $3.60. The great times of Spurs versus Everton is done. The defensive nature of this game is going to be insane. Don't set your alarm for it. Don't wake up for it because you're not going to miss any goals. The only bad thing about picking the draw here actually is if a goal is scored, we're screwed because another one ain't being scored to equalise it up. So you're praying for a 0-0. There will not be more than one goal in this game. So yeah, I really like the Tottenham-Everton draw. Lastly, Chelsea to beat Brighton at $1.62. Now, I said Arsenal would come out with a bit of a strut. Chelsea going to make that look like nothing when they walk out against Brighton. They're going to be the most smug outfit of the opening weekend. It's not even funny. They actually stumbled a 1-1 draw last time they went to Brighton. But with that being said, the average football fan would look at that and say, Chelsea 1-1 last time they played Brighton. They didn't play well against Brighton. But no, Damon looks at the bigger picture. That was only the second time Brighton have scored against Chelsea in their last six matches.
Perspective.
Chelsea do have a good history against Brighton. And I think we have to take it into consideration again here. I don't think Chelsea even have to get this 100% right on the day. They've got so much firepower. And especially if Brighton don't play that defensive style, we sort of need them to stay up this year. I think Chelsea put on a little bit of a show on the opening day, and for $1.62, you can't pass it. So yeah, that's my multi. If you chuck $10 on at $21.41, you get $214 back. I think you're laughing with these odds. I know I'm going to do it. Woody, I know you're going to do it, and I know a few listeners are going to put it on. So you've absolutely got to lock it.
You know what, Damo?
Absolutely got to
lock it. Opening day, I'm going to stick a pineapple on it. Better than that, than going in the pokey machine, pineapple at $21.41. Mate, I'm going to be reeling in the money. I'm going to be bringing back to the nightclub a big, fat, hairy gorilla to spend on our next ventures. And a gorilla being $1,000 for anyone that doesn't understand betting terminology.
Mate, I tell you what, there's going to be like, people are going to listen to the pod next week and the audio is going to be that bit clearer. We're going to be in some insane studio and they're going to be like, how did they afford all this? Well, it's because they listened to Damo's Dolls last week. That's
Damo's
why.
Dollary
I'm telling
dues.
You, I cannot wait to come back for the next episode when, you know, if this comes off, we're doing a podcast like that day. Like, it's going to be an emergency pod purely based off Damo's dollar special or some shit. It's going to be insane.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, Woody, I think that's a good way to wrap it up. Good way to wrap it up, I think, because we've gone well over time, to be honest. I think we expected this to go for no longer than 40 minutes. We're about to hit, we're getting close to 50. So I think it's a nice time to wrap it up. Just to quickly remind people, we're not weekly anymore, so we do plan on coming up with a little bit more of a structure as to when we do podcasts, but at the moment, given our lifestyle, given the, you know, lockdown, it's a little bit hard to sort of plan when these pods are going to be. So we might not be next week, we might be next week, we don't know. We've lined up a few guests in the last few days, that's very exciting. Next time they might hear us, we might be on YouTube as well, so all that will be pumped out on the socials. Also, on the socials, I'm going to ask you to tell people where they can find us in a second, but on the Twitter and on Instagram, everything, you'll be able to find our Fantasy Premier League coach. And make sure before 8:30 Saturday night, Australian Eastern Standard Time, you guys have joined that league, because, of course, that's when the lockout is, 8:30 for the 9:30 Arsenal-Fulham game. So get your teams ready. It's going to be a big season. And yeah, I'm super excited for it, Woody. So if they want to find those socials, where can they
you can find us on Insta at Premier League Nightclub, and where can you find us on the Twitter?
You can find us at PL Nightclub. Search us up on Facebook if you're a Facebook kind of guy. Make sure you hit sub on wherever you listen to us, whether it be Spotify, Apple. It helps us a heap. When that channel comes out, we'll make sure to post it, the YouTube channel, make sure to post it so you can click subscribe. It'll help us big time there, help us grow the franchise that is Nightclub Media. Also, stay tuned for our membership possibilities. That'll be coming out soon as well. But yeah, Woody, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, guys, thank you very much. It's been a long one, but it's been a good one. Season 2, Episode 1. Thank you for booking at the Premier League Nightclub. We'll see you when we see you. Thank you, guys.
See ya.